John 3, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 9. We can go to just about any store in this country, and we can get mad over what section it's in, how it's labeled on the tag, but you can purchase and have in your possession, in your home, the Word of God. What a thought. Every one of us has it in our laps, this evening. We have the Word of God. I can stand up here and I can read to you the Word of God. I can do my best to expound and preach the Word of God and comparing Scripture with Scripture. But if the Spirit doesn't bless it, the Spirit doesn't come, if that wind doesn't move on these dry bones, we might stand up, we may have sinew, we may have muscles on our bones, but if the Lord isn't pleased to breathe on us, that's CPR, I got scribbled down there in Ezekiel 37. That's life. He said, I will breathe into you. If he doesn't breathe into us, it ain't going to do anybody any good. But we petition him, don't we? He told Ezekiel, he said, you pray. Pray the Spirit. He'll come to you. And I will. That's something. There's one thing needful we have. We need Christ. We need to be born again, made like Him. Have His incorruptible seed put in. There's so many things throughout my life I thought was needful. Well, I got taxes to pay. That's pretty important, isn't it? There's a lot of things that are important. I got to work. I've got deadlines to meet. I got to get up early. I do this tomorrow. I take a trash out. A whole bunch of things I need to do. And they have their purpose. The Lord uses all of those things. But they were not the one thing needful. One thing needful is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And for you to know Him, for you to be made one with our Lord, have life, to dwell with Him, and for Him to dwell in you, you must be born again. It says there in John 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus, I looked his name up. Some dictionaries say innocent blood is his name. And I thought his parents sure must have thought high of him when he was named, wouldn't it? But in the Greek, it means public triumph. Public triumph. How fitting. And his natural birth and his natural state, all of his victory, all of his triumph was only public. Only outwardly. That's every one of us, isn't it? Lord, speaking to Nicodemus, I pray He'll speak to us tonight. He was a Pharisee. Those Pharisees, that was the religious elite. They prided themselves on how righteous they were before men, how righteous they were before the law, how righteous they were before God. In one Bible dictionary, it says they encouraged all to be self-sufficient. You can do it yourself. Look at me. What a shame. Hawker said it also meant they were so proud of how they knew their own heart. Oh, I know some things. We'll see what Nicodemus knew. Our heart's deceitful, isn't it? Who can know it? God knows it. Lord, you know. You know. But they didn't know God. They knew a whole lot. A whole lot of stuff, but they didn't know God. They preached out of the Old Testament. They were rulers. Teachers, preachers. Or the Christ, the preacher, is talking to a preacher. A poor preacher, but a preacher. They didn't know God. Nothing's changed in our day, has it? Millions of people stand up and say they're speaking on behalf of God. That's a frightening thing. That's not something to take lightheartedly. It's all around this nation, all around this city, all around the world. People stand up with a suit and tie and a Bible and say, I'm going to read some words, and they do. But it's not knowing God. It's not in truth, is it? We saw last week, men and women, they do what they think's right. Well, that seems good to me. That's what Grandma and Grandpa did. That's what I'll do. They were fine people. We all come into this world, we're standing on our good decision-making, our morality. We all come into this world trusting our heritage. Well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Southern Baptist. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm a this, some of the whatever. trusting in those things. Our promises and our pledges to God. I gave myself to God. I made Him Lord. He beat you to it. Our promises. It's what we stand on. Not His promises. Man don't know them. Our benefits and our success in this world. Lord must be blessing it. I'm still alive, ain't I? Still eating. And the Lord doesn't commit Himself to those. That's what we looked at last Wednesday. He turns them away. The final thing of that was religious knowledge. All the things we know. Here we see Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. He was one of the Sanhedrin, one of the 70. And someone didn't, they didn't just take turns being Sanhedrin. That wasn't his pick that week. Well, that was some rigorous selection, rigorous training. There's two big teachers there in Jerusalem. Gamaliel. I always think of Gargamel, like Smurfs. I don't know why, since I was a little kid. But probably better off it was Gargamel. And Samuel. This one was under the other one. But he was trained and schooled and taught. And he was in a position of authority. He taught the Old Testament. Everybody sat down and it was quiet. He spoke. And he did all the standing in judgment. He did the accusing and excusing. You shouldn't be doing that. You better knock that off. Here's what you ought to be doing. Or, no, that's fine. Leave that one alone. He was in the seat of judgment. Mankind, right now, turn your news on, is in open warfare condemning anything they can. I don't like what you said 9 years ago. Let's cancel them. Get rid of them. Do away with them. That's a seat of judgment, isn't it? It's always been the same. Ain't nothing changed. We see more of it now, and we can do it quicker. Instead of having to write out an old quill pen or something, we can just hit a button. And we do it with less repercussions, and it seems to just keep escalating it. It says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And he came, the same came to Jesus by night. It said unto him, Rabbi, Master, Teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. We know why he came by night, don't we? If he'd have come by daytime, his friends would have seen him. Those fellow rulers in the temple and his religion might see him. Can't do that. He may lose his standing in the church. There's people I know that they claim to believe the Lord, claim to love Christ, and they say, I'm going to a place and I know they don't preach the gospel. One of two things is a lie. Believe the Lord and love Him, you can't stand to hear nothing else. I want everybody lying on my God. I wouldn't let you talk bad about my wife. I sure ain't going to sit there and listen to somebody talk bad about the Lord. Or in ignorance. But you got to keep up appearances, don't you? Can't let that go. Can't let positions of authority go. Can't let upward mobility go away. They may promote me. They came to Him by night. And then He said, we know. We know. You know, it's hard to find somebody that doesn't know. People will find out I'm a preacher. And immediately they speak to me about their faith. I have strong faith. I didn't ask nothing about your faith. And then they tell me everything they know. Oh, I know God. I know what I believe. It's never who. I know my Bible. This man came to the Almighty God in human flesh. And told him, I know. I know God. I know who comes from God. I know who does the works of God. And I know who God dwells with. I've got all this sorted out. Doesn't that just scream wrong to you? Wouldn't a child see that? That ain't right. That ain't right. Isn't that a sad situation? I wish I could find somebody that didn't already know. Someone that wanted to cry out, Lord, thou knowest. Thou knowest. Nicodemus came by night. It may have been by night, but he came, didn't he? I listened to a couple of messages. I remember my pastor preaching on this. And he said, boy, that's good. I'll take anybody. You come to the Lord, because there's no time frame. Well, we have to come to Him on Wednesday nights. We've got to come to Him on Sunday mornings and Sunday. No, you come to Him in the middle of the night. You come to Him on Tuesday. Whenever it's laid on your heart, run to Him. Run with urgency. Run to the Lord. Come to Him. Come how you are, like that man in the tombs. He saw the Lord. He was naked and out of his mind. And ran to Him. Worshipped Him. Fell on His feet. fell on his face. You come to the Lord. And then I heard my pastor many years later say, boy, how he came was wrong. And you know what? Both ways are right. That's correct both ways. You come to him any time you can, but remember who you're coming to. He still came the wrong way. He came declaring what he knew. Nicodemus had saw some things. He said, I saw the miracles. I saw all those miracles. He was with all those people by the temple, wasn't he? He was impressed by that. He was impressed by what he saw with his eyes. Not once did he acknowledge, Lord, I heard what you said. I heard what you was preaching. I heard what you taught in that temple. Just what he saw. It says, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. In our old nature, we think God has to be in this because of all these outward things happening. That's what men and women ask. The first thing, you mention any local assembly of God's true saints, men and women who are just sinners begging for mercy. And they'll say, how many people you got down there? How you doing? How many are there? How many have you been baptizing? Do you have any programs for the children? How many pastors do you have? How many elders do you have? To them, that's proof that God's in it. They only see the outside. Is he blessing it? That's with their eyes. We want to see signs. We want to see something, don't we? Back here in verse 23 of John 2, one page up to the left. It says, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name. They didn't believe on his name, they believed in him. When they saw the miracles, which he did. Pharisees in our day, they would say things like, I would rather see a sermon than hear one. Not me. Not me. That's fine. Have a holy walk in this world. That's our debt of gratitude. Lord saved us. We shouldn't bring reproach on his gospel. Do everything we could keep from it. I want to hear his word. Paul said, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can see something and be fooled. There's illusionists and magicians and all these things. You can look at something and be, that's what the old saying was, believe half of, or none of what you read, half of what you see. We can see something and be fooled, but if you truly hear God's word, if he speaks to you, you'll be made alive. There'll be a product. You'll see him. You won't see nothing before. You'll see some outward things. But if he speaks to you in his word, you hear him, now you're going to see him because he's going to reveal himself to you. That's how he does it, through his word, through his command. It says in verse 3, John 3, 3, Jesus answered, saith unto him, verily, verily. That means truly, truly. That's another way we could say that. You better pay attention. Everybody. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See, the word see there, see the kingdom of God. That means to know, to understand, and to perceive. To know, to understand, and perceive. You can't know, you cannot understand, and you cannot perceive the kingdom of God except, here's the only exception, except you're born again. You're born again. A baby doesn't see, and that makes it alive. It sees because it is alive. A baby doesn't become alive because it hears. It hears because it is alive. It's not become alive because it's taught. Once there's life, now you can teach it something. It has to be born. Then instruction and wisdom comes, and it sees and it hears and all those things. Life has to come first, doesn't it? Turn over to John 5, just a page or two there. John 5, 24. I'm going to have you turn to a few scriptures, but it'll be good for us to see these. Be reminded. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, there it is again. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. We were dead. We couldn't hear nothing. We couldn't believe nothing. We couldn't learn nothing. Couldn't be taught nothing. But for those that hath everlasting life, now you hear his word. Now you believe on him. Now you call, you cry like a baby, just like a child, unto him. And there's no condemnation. Why? Because we've passed from death to life. We have that life. We have it right now. How can we hear the Word of God? How can we believe on Him? We must be made alive. We must be born again. Don't we? Turn over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, we'll begin verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know, that's the same word, see. It's given unto you to see. It's given unto you to perceive the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. What's in mysteries? That's a lot, isn't it? A holy God entered into an everlasting covenant of grace with His Son for a people to be made just like Him. And then His Son came to this earth. His Son walked this earth, born under the law, made of a woman, lived perfect in everything, honoring His Father, willfully, with joy, set before Him, goes to the cross, the shame of the cross, bearing their sin, being made His people, being made His bride, and the full wrath of God poured out on Him in holy, divine, perfect justice. And He rose because it was satisfied. And He comes to His people and in power and in a word speaks to them and they're given life. That's mysterious. That's mysterious to most people. Isn't it? He answered and said unto them, Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it's not given. For whosoever hath, those given life, those born anew right now, to him shall be given and he shall have more abundance. They will see more. They're going to understand more. They're going to have more of a desire to hear that sincere milk of the Word. Tell me plainly. I want to hear it one more time. How can a man be just before God? I want to know that. Tell me one more time. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Those that only have a head knowledge. Those that's not given new life. No new ears to hear. No new eyes to see the purpose and the power of God in Christ. Manifest in Him. All that worldly knowledge. All that memorization. All that outward show. That physical exercise. That's going to be taken away. It's going to burn. It's going to be useless. Verse 13. Therefore speak I to them in parables. Because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. Do you see that? Do you hear how plain that is, how laid out that is? If so, if you perceive, if you see, if you know, you understand, if you hear, how come? How come? Look down at verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You are alive. Why that complicated? Almighty God speaks to His people and says, You see this? I gave you eyes. You hear that? You're alive. I made you that way. How tender and comforting, isn't it? This may be a hard question for some people, but it's a simple question. Who does the blessing? Lord said, blessed are your eyes and blessed are your ears. Who did that blessing? Does God bless men and women's eyes and ears and hearts? Does He give them life? Or do we bless the Lord by doing it ourselves? It's pretty simple. Same as who gave you physical birth. Did God give you physical birth? Or did you birth yourself? Did you decide to come to this earth? That's preposterous, isn't it? You're crazy. Just as crazy as the other. Paul said that it was God that separated me from my mother's womb. And it was God that shed His grace abundantly in my heart. When it pleased Him. Turn over to 1 John 5. verse 20. John says, and we know, we perceive it, we understand this, and we rest on it. We know that the Son of God is come. He come to this earth, and He's come to His people. He shall come to His people. He shall save them. And it's going to happen. We know the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him, that we may see Him. What are we going to see and hear? Him. that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The true God is the one that came. He gave His life so that we may have life, gave us understanding that we may know Him, that we may see Him, that we may perceive Him, and that we are in Him. He tells us that. I'm in you, you're in me. Turn over to Luke 17. We are in Him, and He is in those that are born of Him. Luke 17. Verse 20. Luke 17:20. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. It doesn't come with observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. The kingdom of God is not in outward things. Things we can observe, touch not, taste not, handle not, law keeping, clean living, morality, denominations and worldly benefits and religious knowledge, all those things the Lord condemned, all those He didn't commit Himself to. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. When's the kingdom of God coming? To His people, it's right now. He's with you. Lo, I'm with you always. Isn't that something? He's given us this earnest. That's just a taste. Just a taste of what's to come. Do you see the wisdom in that? Boy, that's wise. Us so prone to wonder, prone to leave a God we love. He dwells in us. How are you going to run from Him? You can't leave Him because He won't leave us. And that's one more. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll see this. Ephesians 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted after... You trust the Lord, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you heard that you believed, and you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. We see through this glass darkly, so dimly now, but we see. A whole lot of things. People say, what do you think that means? I don't know. Can you explain that? Like, what's all the intricacies? I don't know. I see through glass darkly. But I see. Lord gave me eyes to see. Those that are given eyes from God through Christ the Word speaking in power in our hearts. We believe and we're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Not our promises. Not man's pledges. His promises. His pledges. And that's the earnest. That's right now. Just like you go put down money on a big purchase, you give them earnest money. A portion of our inheritance, Christ dwelling in you, He's given that to us now. Sing praises to Him, to honor Him, to glory Him. How kind and patient. What a loving, caring God He is to His people. Salvations of God. That's what our Lord's telling Nicodemus. We'll look back at our text from John 3. John 3, verse 3. And Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Can he become an infant and be born again? Nicodemus came to the Lord by night. He started off telling everything he knew, everything he'd saw. And Christ, that great physician, He gave him the exact prescription that sick sinner needed. We all have the same sickness. We all have the same illness. And it's hereditary and it's deadly and it's sin. We all have that. But boy, our symptoms sure manifest different, don't they? They present different. Christ dealt with Nicodemus personally. He comes to us in our personal rebellion. We all have the same sin, but it comes out in different ways. We rebel different, don't we? He come and spoke to him. Said, you must be born again. And now Nicodemus is trying to make sense of this carnally. using man's logic, and he's being sarcastic when he's doing it. Making fun or making light of the gospel, what man is, who God is, how Christ saves sinners, that doesn't change anything. That's just an attempt for people to avoid the truth. Make light of something. We can skim over this and move on to something different. Many make fun of me. I've been made fun of. And sometimes they've just outright said what I preach and the very fact that I do preach is just silly. It's silly. And others just mock. Some people say, oh, you doing the Lord's work this week? What runs through me? You converted any of your flock this week? I say, hey, preach man. What are they saying? It's just foolishness, isn't it? Foolishness. If Nicodemus come to me and said something like that, it would be everything in me not just turn around and walk away. He said, get out of here. Hush. Go. Beat it. Our Lord do that. Stayed right there with him, didn't he? Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, for preaching the preaching of the cross, the person and the work of Christ, is to them that perish foolishness. It's just silly. It's something to be sarcastic about and something to mock. But unto us which are saved, us that's been given life, it's the power of God. Nicodemus came declaring what he knew. Christ declared all flesh is grass. We're completely unable to do anything to be saved. The Lord must do it. Just like he gave you physical life, he's got to give you eternal life. He has to give you spiritual life. Then Nicodemus asks a question. Christ tells him again, the gospel doesn't change here, does it? This man keeps asking questions. He's changing, but the Lord stays right with him. He says in verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man's born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless, except, we're born again. They're not going to see. That's what he told him first, wasn't it? They're not going to understand. They're not going to know the kingdom of God, his mysteries, his glory. And unless, except, a person is born again from above, they will not enter into that kingdom. Those mysteries, that glory of Christ and him crucified. Nicodemus said, I saw miracles. I see you are from God. And Christ said, unless you're born again, you can't see anything. And he said, how can I enter? How can I enter into my mother's womb again? And Christ said, unless you're born of the water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of God. He made him right where he lived, didn't he? And the gospel didn't change. If I can't perceive it and I can't enter in, who then can be saved? Remember who he's talking to. All the way through verse 21, the Lord's speaking to Nicodemus. We'll go through this for a couple weeks. But if he can't do it, who can be saved? He was astonished. The disciples were astonished too, didn't he? We spoke about the rich man going through the... it was like a camel going through the eye of the needle. Mary, Mark, Tennyson, and Jesus looking upon them, they said, who can be saved? He said, with men it's impossible, but with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Being born again, that regeneration, it's not of the flesh, it's of God. By His water, the water of the Word, not man's water, not us washing and cleansing outside the cup, not getting in the baptismal pool, by Christ the Word. And by the capital S Spirit. He's about to tell that woman at the well, there in chapter 4, he's water life. You ask me water, you'll live forever. You have a well running forever. Here in verse 6, it says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the capital S Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, is Spirit. It's born after Him. It's named after Him. That's the sons of God. That's heirs. Heirs of Him, given His name, His likeness and His Spirit, His image and His Spirit. And He says in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Remember who He's speaking to. A ruler, a teacher, a well-educated man, high up, member of the Sanhedrin. And compared to me, outwardly, this man seems so knowledgeable, he's so moral, he's so high and noble. And the Lord says, ye must be born again. What's that to everybody else? You. You must be born again. Every one of us. His children must be born again. Verse 8, how's that going to happen? The wind bloweth where it listeth. and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. That wind, God the Holy Spirit, goes where He wills. Where the Lord's purposed it, when He's purposed it. You can hear it. You can hear it coming. But you can't tell where it came from. You can't tell where He's going, what He's doing. We just have ears to hear and faith to believe, faith to trust Him. No. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, when the Lord saved me, I don't know. In a sense, I know it was before time and it's for eternity. But He blew on me. That's the thing of big old windmills. Man can put windmills up, try to harness energy and stuff. That wind, we don't know which way it's going to come, so you got to have them before they can spin. And it hits that windmill and works that windmill. But you didn't do nothing that wind, did you? You didn't catch it? You didn't slow it down? It just keeps on going on. Right where the Lord worked. Where the Lord willed it. Why shouldn't we marvel? This has been told for a long time. Do you know that? That the Lord will save His people. There in Ezekiel 37. Let's look back there. Ezekiel 37. Nicodemus had heard this, and he's read this, and he's taught this more than we have. Over and over again. But he didn't have eyes to see it. Ezekiel 37, verse 3. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, Lord, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Well, you know, Ezekiel. I know you know. Thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. The Lord told his preacher, not one of them made by men, one of his. He said, you go to a bunch of dead bones, and you cry unto them, hear the word of the Lord. He saves his people. He'll give you life. He'll keep you forever. And something happened. Them bones started coming together. But there wasn't no life in it. They's in church every week. You know what I mean? We get that in our day. Hear the Lord. This is Him. Come to Him. Everybody starts congregating. Them bones start coming together. Get some sinew on them. Some ligaments. Some muscle tissue. Some skin. But there's still no life. What's that preacher supposed to do? Preach the word of the Lord to them. Truth of His salvation alone. Hear Him. And he says in verse 9, then he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say the wind. You beg God the Holy Spirit. Thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. We're dead in trespasses and sins. We everyone come into this bones, come into this world, whited bones, dead, nothing, no skin on us. The Lord had to call us by His word. We had to hear Him, and the Spirit had to come with us. We had to be born of the water and the Spirit. The Spirit had to come and breathe life into us, that we may live. He told Ezekiel, you pray the Spirit moves on those that He's given physical life to, and those that heard the word of the Lord, they got a physical ear only, but that they might be born of the water and the Spirit. That's my prayer. I pray the Lord is with us. His Spirit moves upon His people, gives them life. Verse 10 said, so I prophesied as He commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. It says in verse 11, what's going to be the result of that? Now they've been gathered together, life's been breathed into them, they've been born again. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost, we are cut off for our parts. Did they say that before? They say, I'm nothing. I'll die without you, Lord. No, when did they say that? After they had life given them. What's all the ones the Lord committed himself to? We looked at last week. Peter's walking out on the water. Lord, save me. He had life to see the Lord that revealed himself to him and to call on him. He heard his word. He was born again. We cry out, Lord, save us. What does he say? Therefore, in verse 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves. O my people, I have brought you up out of your graves and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it. It was his word. And performed it. It was his will, saith the Lord. We'll declare those things. And we need to hear it over and over, don't we? Well, I've already been born again. Lord, save me. I have life. I need to cry out and hear it again, don't I? That's a change that takes place. We didn't know to cry. Couldn't cry. Didn't have life in us. Lord breathes life into us. And we cry to him. We cry to him. And he tells us again. The message hadn't changed. But the sinner has, hasn't it? Look back here at Nicodemus. I want to see this one thing. John 3, verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? How can these things be? You see how Christ kept preaching the gospel to Nicodemus in just a few short sentences. He declared the salvation of the Lord. The sin and the inability of man. God's electing grace. His preserving grace. I can't do it in a sentence or two. He can. The message didn't change, but the hearer did. He came at first with what he knew. Everything he had seen. Then he mocked the Lord. Was sarcastic about it. And now he asked an earnest question. How could that be? How could that be? He was taught a lot by man and taught by other men. But he was just dead bones. You can't teach anything to a dead man. But when life begins, after there's birth, now you can instruct them and train them up just like children, can't you? I want to be taught of God. I want him to, Lord, how can this be? Show me one more time. Teach me. Hone me. Rub these stones together. Don't let a man touch them. Grind us. Fitly frame us together. Compact us. That's what I pray his spirit does. Lord willing, next week we'll see what else the Lord spoke to Nicodemus. He talked to him for a few more verses.